Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the gospel reading, just Luke chapter 2, verse 21. Many of us are familiar with the Christmas gospel from Luke chapter 2, and some of us probably even have it memorized. We hear it every year from the time that we're young. But this verse that Luke gives us, verse 21, gives us the next part of the story. So this is when Jesus is given his name a week after his birth. And of course, that same name of Jesus has been placed upon you and me as Christians. And that is the name that we carry out into the world as we start this new year together, the year 2019. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, new year, new you. That's what you hear, right? Especially, you know, on a day like today. That's what everybody seems to be focusing on. You know, you listen to all the talk about New Year's resolutions, and people are promising to themselves that they are going to do better in 2019. They're finally going to lose that weight. They're finally going to start exercising, get out of debt, take more time for themselves and for their family. And all of these things, of course, are arguably things that we should be focusing on all the time, but there seems to be an added sense of urgency when the calendar flips over to a new year, and you get this sense that time is just slipping through our fingers. We're another year older, another year has gone away. You've probably seen some of the commercials on TV lately for things like gym memberships, right? They know exactly what people are thinking these days. And if you stayed up to watch the ball drop last night, then you probably also heard some of the hosts going around to people out there in the crowd in New York City, asking them, what are their New Year's resolutions going to be? And maybe you've been inspired by some of this talk too. Maybe you have made some resolutions for the new year. But we all know how this typically goes, right? Most people, not all people, but for most people, this is the season of broken promises. Resolutions are words, a lot of times just empty words. And unfortunately, when it's all said and done, sometimes we can end up feeling worse about ourselves than we did at the beginning. Because, you know, not only do we not make any progress on some of the personal goals that we have for our lives, but now, once you've made a promise that you didn't keep, now you've got the added guilt and the added feeling of failure. I'm convinced that the devil loves watching us set ourselves up for disappointment at this time of the year, so that when we do fail, he can do what he does best, which is accuse us in our failure for our empty promises. Now, speaking of empty words, there was an article that I saw online recently that I thought was pretty interesting. I wanted to share with you. It was an article that was actually on CNN's website. And this article was talking about how our whole world is filled with words and labels that are attached to things that are completely meaningless. And I'll explain what I mean by that. But one of the examples that they give is actually the button on an elevator that says, there's a label that says door close. Or maybe there's just a symbol that represents the same thing. But have you ever noticed this? When you go on an elevator, you're in a hurry, and you're trying to get that door to close, and it doesn't actually do anything. The door doesn't actually close any faster. And the interesting thing is that the people who manufacture these elevators, they know this to be true. They keep that button there, even though it doesn't actually do anything, because what they're trying to do is give people the illusion of control. Research has shown that people are happier and content if they feel like they can do something about their problem, even as little as just pushing a button over and over and over again. Even if that button doesn't actually work, it just makes us feel better that we can do something. Same thing happens with the buttons on crosswalks. There was actually some research done to show that in Manhattan, in New York City, only 10% of the crosswalk buttons even function. The other 90% of those buttons are just there for show. They have a label says push to cross the street or whatever, but it doesn't actually do anything. These buttons don't do anything. Hotels and office buildings, more and more of them will put fake thermostats on the wall in order to try to reduce people complaining about how hot or how cold it is. You go up and you kind of turn the dial and it makes you feel better, right? Even though the thermostat isn't even connected and doesn't do anything, people just feel better about feeling like they're in control. All of these things are labeled with words or numbers or symbols or whatever it is, but essentially these words are meaningless. Almost as meaningless as some of our New Year's resolutions. Now, standing in sharp contrast to all of that are these very full words in today's gospel reading. We just have this one verse here from Luke chapter 2, but even though it's only one little verse, this verse is packed with quite a lot. St. Luke gives us quite a bit of information right here in verse 21. And he starts by telling us that exactly 8 days after Jesus was born, his parents brought him to be circumcised. And this was something that every Israelite boy had gone through, going all the way back to the days of Abraham. This practice was a way of marking the child as being one of God's chosen people, being one of the members of the holy and faithful family of God that was set apart from the rest of the world. And now Jesus himself is being included in the very same covenant that he was sent to fulfill. It's pretty cool. You remember that when Abraham was talking with God many, many years earlier, God promised him that he would bless all of the nations of the world through Abraham's offspring. And Jesus is that offspring that God was talking about. So with his circumcision on the 8th day being brought into the covenant, this is kind of getting things moving, right, in that direction where God's promises are going to be fulfilled. And all of these words that God promised are not just empty words after all. That's one of the great things about this event. And of course, on top of it, you also have the fact that on the 8th day, this was when the child would receive their name. So you have this word, Jesus, right? Just it's a combination of letters and sounds that is placed upon him in order to give him a label, right? Just in the same way that all of us have a name that has been placed upon us to label us. Luke tells us right here that Jesus was the name given by the angel before he was conceived in his mother's womb. So you have the marking of the infant Jesus by circumcision and by his name, and the church has traditionally celebrated this on New Year's Day, on January 1st, because, of course, like I said before, this is the 8th day of Christmas. So it's an extension of the celebration that began at the manger just about a week ago. In some ways, it might be kind of hard for us to really understand just how significant it was that the Messiah was named Jesus. Because if you think about names in our day, in our culture, I think more and more we're used to parents and families kind of not really considering what a name means when they place it upon a child. You know, and I know that this isn't universally true. I know that there are still plenty of parents out there who do consider names and the meaning of names. And certainly you know that I try to bring out the meaning of names whenever we have baptisms here at church. But I think more and more what you're seeing is that the meaning of the name has kind of taken a back seat to other things, right? Like how does the name sound? Does it kind of flow well with the last name? What does the name look like? What are the initials going to be? We don't want to spell some weird three-letter word with the initials, right? Or, you know, maybe it's just like a parent trying to find a unique name, right, that nobody else is going to have so that their child is different from everybody else. I'm not saying that these are all bad things necessarily. It's just very different from the way that people thought about names back when Jesus was born 2,000 years ago. Case in point, maybe you heard this story that had gone around the internet recently, but the airline, Southwest Airlines, actually recently had to publicly apologize to a mother and a daughter who flew their airline because one of their gate agents took a look at the little girl's name on her boarding pass and actually started making fun of it. The little girl's name was Absidy, which that's a pretty unique name. I don't know anybody really named Absidy. But the reason why he was making fun of it was because of the way it was spelled. This little girl was named A, B, C, D, E, and pronounced Absidy, right? So there you have a name that doesn't really mean anything, right? It's just the first five letters of the alphabet, and it was chosen probably because of its uniqueness and the way it sounds. But Jesus is named Jesus for a reason. Jesus is a Greek name, but it's actually derived from a Hebrew familiar name, Joshua. And the name Joshua literally means Yahweh saves. And so this name of Jesus is not just a meaningless, empty label, but this name of Jesus actually marks him as the Savior of the world. I mentioned earlier that we have the world filled with meaningless labels on buttons that don't actually do anything. It gives us the illusion of control, right? But when we're talking about this label that has been placed upon Jesus, there's absolutely no illusion here whatsoever. In fact, you could say that one of the reasons why God sent Jesus into this world in the first place was in order to take control. And I don't mean that in the negative sense of the word. You know, it's not like God is just trying to rule over us and keep us in line like a dictator. But what I do mean is that God is taking control in the sense of fixing all of the chaos that sin has brought into our world. There's no denying that to this day, we have moments where it seems like life is completely out of our control. Things happen, terrible, awful things happen all of the time. Things that we have absolutely no explanation for. And I hate to say it, but it seems like we're getting used to it, right? I mean, as we enter into this year, 2019, it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility that the thought could cross your mind, how many school shootings are we going to have this year? How many terrible tragedies are we going to hear about in our country this year? It's awful. And yet, this child named Jesus, Yahweh saves, enters into the world and takes control by being perfectly obedient to the law, by dying upon the cross, by bringing hope into the chaos, and certainly by fulfilling the promise that God made to Abraham and bringing forgiveness and blessing to the entire world. And you know, the same Jesus has placed his name upon you. When you were baptized, when you were brought to the font, you were baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You were marked with that label, Jesus. Yahweh saves, now has a direct object, you. Yahweh saves you in baptism, and you carry that name with you everywhere you go. Martin Luther once said that the title Christian, the name Christian, means that we are little Christs in the world. So whenever you're presented with an opportunity to love your neighbor as yourself, your hands and feet become like the hands and feet of Jesus. Those aren't empty words. They're not meaningless promises. So in this new year, let this be our ultimate resolution, that we will live out the name that has been placed upon us, that we will serve God by serving others in his most holy and precious name, in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.